All right, man. All right. All right, everybody have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. 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 Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever it is you think about, whatever it is you focus on, that is what grows. 5% or less actually will ever make financial independence. So that means 95% of people, man, they're living in a delusion. And if you were to ask them what they are going to do if they won or somehow $10 million, if it fell into their lap, what would they do with their life? I guarantee it. 2 to 8 million of that would be spent in the first 1 minute. Spend, spend, spend. If you ask them, what would they do if they had $10 million? They'd write down all the things they would buy. They'd buy that car. They'd go on that trip. They'd buy this and they'd buy that. And it would be all consumables, all depreciables, all devaluing. And as long as they spend their money on depreciables and consumables, they really don't have an actual desire for building wealth. They have to invest it. They have to. And buy things that appreciate in value if they want to be wealthy. You have to. First of all, you want to find out whatever you've done in your life, how it has served you, how it has served others, and clear out any shame or guilt. And then you want to sit down and ask, what is it that you are really going to do? Because you're not going to get wealthy unless you're serving other people. All of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, and credit cards of other people. And if you're not dedicated to serving other people, you have a fantasy called wealth. You need to make sure that you really have a value on serving other people and that you have something of value that serves them. You need to have a value on wealth because if you don't really have a value on wealth, you'll spend it. And if you have more value on spending it than on saving and investing it, it's going to keep going right out the window. It's not the structural system. It's not this and it's not that. It's not your parents. And no, it isn't that no one told you. They just don't want to know because the information is there. Because money circulates through the economy from those that value it least to those that value it most over time. So you have to value wealth building more than you value spending. You have to value serving people more than just taking from people. You have to be able to be dedicated to something that's really congruent with your values, or you won't stay the course. You won't build the momentum and the perseverance toward accomplishment. And the people who have forced automatic savings in place, who set up systems and situations, and are willing to consistently study and to research because they value wealth building, will build it. Warren Buffett, by the time he was 11, he already read all of the books in the Omaha, Nebraska on wealth. Could have something to do why he's so rich. He was committed to the outcome from the beginning. People really committed to wealth building, they study it. They research it. They mentor under it. They apply it. They have a forced savings and investment structure in place. They constantly are trying to serve other people so they can make money. And they want to build a business that lasts. What happens is every human being lives by a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most important to least important in their life. And whenever they set goals that are congruent or in alignment with their highest values, they become the most powerful and effective people they can be. This is when they are most grateful, the most resilient. This is when they're the most disciplined and the most fulfilled in their lives. Whenever they are living by lower values and trying to inject the values of others or minimizing themselves and live by lower value systems, they procrastinate, they hesitate, they are frustrated, and they become, you might say, a victim to their own history, not masters of their destiny. So you look at how people fill their space. You look at how they spend their time. You look at what they are disciplined about, what they are focused on. You look where they're most organized. You look at where they spend most of their money. You look at what energizes them the most. You look at what they think about, what they visualize, what they affirm, what they converse about others about most. That is in line with what they are creating in life. Look at what they're inspired by, their goals are, what they love learning. If you look and you find common threads to those questions, it'll narrow down to what you're dedicated to and what you will spontaneously can't wait to get up in the fucking morning to do. Any individual that is setting goals and intentions that are incongruent, in line with their highest values, they have the highest probability of being spontaneously inspired in the morning and get up to do it. So if you have an entrepreneur that's working in a business and they find what is most meaningful to them, they have found what is the Warren Buffett, the tap dance to work energy that Warren Buffett describes. As Bill Pollack, who owns Drake Corporation, told me, he said, since 1951, since I found out what I love doing, I've never worked a day. Now, in addition to that, an entrepreneur also has to find what their targeted market's highest values are to make sure that they are providing that service that meets those specific needs. So determining your own values, determining other people's values that you want to serve is an essential component, because you're here to be able to find something that serves other people, but it's also meaningful to you. If you find those two, if you connect those two, you've got your niche. Now you've got exactly what you would love to get up in the morning and do, and you get to go and do it, do what exactly people want, and you get to fulfill their life. Giving to others. But because everybody has a set of priorities, a set of values in their life, when you go down the list of values, of higher values to low values, you're less inspired the further down the list you go. Less fulfilled by doing them. You procrastinate in doing them. You never procrastinate your highest value. And what happens is you'll only do them if it's pleasurable. And if it's not, you'll give up. So it's a key. The key is to make sure that everything you do is the highest priority. The thing that's the most meaningful to you, so you don't give up, so you have resilience, and you can embrace the pain and seek pleasure in pursuit of the great purpose. If you are not living by your highest values, because you're willing to do it with pleasure only, and you'll want to give up its pains, you'll need motivation all the time. I'm not motivated, G. The difference between inspiration, which is from within, is people who are inspired from within are living by their highest values. And people that need motivation from without are people that haven't found that highest value and are living by their lower values. And they need a constant incentives and motivation and only pleasure to keep them going. So I'm not a motivational speaker, man. And I don't promote motivation, because I think motivation is a symptom more than a solution. When you need motivation, it speaks more to you and your value system, that maybe you're not living according to your highest value. The animal is always having an impulse for that which is prey and pleasure, and an instinct away from that which is pain and predator. So our animal nature needs motivation, but our truest nature, that creative side, that side that sits in formless substance, that side that thinks we can do anything, be anything, go anywhere. The one that activates that side of the brain, the executive center of the brain, which allows you to be an executive, to be a creator, to transcend pain and pleasure, to transcend lower values. It allows us to function from an inner core mission that transcends pain and allows us to be able to embrace pain, pleasure, support challenge, and ease there in times of difficulty. Because our mission and our value system is bigger than our problems and our pain. Any complementary pair of opposites that you face along the way, you turn into on the way. If you are expecting to float across two buildings, that's unrealistic expectation. Or if you're expecting yourself to do something that's truly not your highest value and not meaningful to you, you'll tend to give up. Or expecting some other human being to do something that doesn't abide by the laws of the universe, or expecting them to live outside of their value system, you will be disappointed. Because every human being makes decisions according to that which gives them the greatest advantage over disadvantage, the greatest reward of risk to their highest value. So if you expect yourself to do something that's really not meaningful to you, that sounds like a neat whim, but it's not really you, you're going to end up self-defeating, and you're going to end up with the ABDCs of negativity. Internal anger and aggression, internal blame and feelings of betrayal, internal criticisms and challenge, and internal despondency and despair and depression. And these ABCDs of negativity that you internally have, which some people call negative self-talk and negative self-behavior, is actually feedback mechanism to make sure that you're setting realistic expectations that are designed in line with your real values. You might say, I want to be a day trader because I want to make money. If you don't love charts, if you don't love stocks, if you don't love reading about it, if you don't love losing, see, you can't approach it just for the love of money, or you won't ride out the pains. You won't be able to take and handle the losing weeks and the ups and downs and the volatility of the market and the pulls on your emotions. If it's not your highest value to be a great trader, the money will never follow. See, we know that it's real if we can see it in our mind's eye. We see the strategy. We know the action steps, and it's attainable. Now, those are part of the keys. When you do, you have a realistic expectation. You keep showing effort and evidence of manifesting what you want to manifest. Do you see the charts in your head? Can you not wait to get up and trade? Or do you get frustrated, find reasons to quit and whine, cry? Can you endure the pain? Is it worth it? Do you learn in your failure and you're excited to try again? Or you're like, this was a dumb idea and I don't want to do this. The wisest thing to do is to start with simple goals that you achieve and train yourself to do what you say. And if you train yourself to do what you say, your piggy bank becomes bigger banks. Your little action steps become big dreams. And if you live congruently with your highest value, you have the highest probability of achievement. And you won't give up on your goals. So if you set goals that are congruent, that are truly meaningful to you, and you start chunking them down into small enough bites, so you just keep doing things. You just keep going. You get a little bit richer every day. You keep rewarding yourself by accomplishing these immediate steps. You will end up manifesting the things you just strategize your way into a bigger game. Sometimes people will tell me, oh, paper trading, that's not worth it. Bullshit. You don't know how to manifest. If you can't paper trade, you can't manifest. It's a law of motherfucking attraction. You do it because you want to do it, not for the money. Man, I paper trade Bitcoin on a 1-minute chart at night for fun, and I'm a multimillionaire. So if you don't have it in you, you're serving a lower need. This isn't your highest value. So many people I meet, oh, I want to be debt free, but it's not your highest value. You don't hate that so much it makes you fucking sick. Makes me fucking sick to see people's debt. That's my value system. The only debt I want to take out is debt paying me money. If it ain't paying me money, fuck it. I don't want it because that's my value system. And until you change your value system, your mind, your body, and you will not be able to manifest what you truly don't value. Procrastination, a result of three primary things. It's an unclear vision. The reason you can't trade well is you can't see it. It is an unchunked vision. It means that you are taking on too big a chunk without bringing it down to the smallest enough bites that you can go and get it done. And it's not linked to your highest values. And if you take the objective that you have and make sure it abides by the laws of the universe, it is doable. You make sure reality matches your highest values, so it's linked. See, day trading gets easier on the 10,000th trade. The 10,000th trade is much easier than the 1,000th. But do you have it? Can you endure the pain and the troubles to get to number 100? Or you were so concerned with the end result that you can't make it through the valleys, the ups and downs? And the way you know that is if you can rattle off the reasons why you can't do it and how it will help you fulfill your mission fluently. Because if you're fluent, you're congruent. Then you basically make sure it's chunked down in small action steps you can do. And you micromanage until you prove you can micromanage. That means you do it in small baby steps every single fucking day. And if you do this once, you are one step closer. And the next day, you are one step closer. And the next day. And if you do this the next day and do it once, you over and over, and you break it down in such small steps that it's a fucking inch. It's not even a step or a mile. Every inch, eventually, there's inches in a mile. And if you do this, you'll break the power of procrastination. Procrastination means that you've made the chunks too big. It's unlinked and unclarified. And you can't see it in your mind. I think that most people who think they're going to be positive all the time are delusional. I'm happy. I'm upset and I'm sad and I'm pissed a lot. It has nothing to do with my mission or my love. And just like a magnet, it has two sides. And I wrote about this in my book, The Two Selves. And we swing in this pendulum from I can do it and I can do anything and I have rose-colored glasses and I can be anything to everything sucks and I can't do it. And the more you set yourself to one side, the more you get depressed when it doesn't match your fantasy. So I'm a realistic guy that sets realistic goals in real time with balanced orientation. And I accomplish more by doing that than setting up fantasies and then having nightmares. So I'm not a positive thinking guy. I'm not, man. I'm not. I'm a balanced thinking guy, and I believe in the power of manifestation, and I believe I'm chosen. I believe I can do anything that is highest value to me. But when people are down, you need positive thinking. But when you're up and you're fantasizing and you're sending those fantasies and those pies in the sky, you need some critical thinking to be able to put you back into reality. So I'm a believer on both of these because that's the two selves. The two selves, man. Get my ebook. Go to GeraldPeters.info. $29. Get that ebook. And don't read through it like a book, man. Read one section and then the next day read it again. And turn chaos into cash. So what I did is I did a number of steps. And one of them is at the end of the day, I would stop. And if I had had this super high day and I really thought I had really had done something and it really was puffed it up kind of thinking, I'd ask, what did I forget to serve today? And I always turn it back to who can I serve? Who did I forget to email? Who did I forget to text? What did I forget to post that could have served my audience, my followers, the MFG? Who did I not call? What procedure did I not follow? What name did I not look? What priority did I not hit today? I would ask questions that I learned to self-govern myself back into the center. And if I had a low day and I really thought, wow, man, that day really sucked. And I missed it trading. And maybe I got up late and I did this wrong. And I wasn't into, you know, I just did. I would say to myself, yeah, but what did you do? What did you do? Who did you serve? What names did you remember? And I would focus on the things that I did do. And I remind myself that I'm 10 foot tall and motherfucking bulletproof. And instead of having volatility in my business, I began to have steadfastness. I also created a situation of forced savings. See, I don't work to pay bills. I work to invest because I'm an investor, and I get up to trade because I'm a trader. Oh, but in the meantime, I got to go to work. And in the meantime, I got to pay bills. But the bills are on a lower value than investing. See, most people have it backwards, and that's why most people die broke. I forced profits. I paid myself first. I built up huge cash reserves and decreased the volatility. Volatility doesn't faze me. Volatility is opportunity. I don't fear crashes. I hope the motherfucker crashes. It increases my quality that I had, because I'd repeat that message to them. My associations, my opportunities, my alignments to greater opportunities in business. I made sure that I focused on priorities each day, delegating lower priority things on a regular basis. Because if I was going to do low priority things, I was going to keep myself in a low priority position. I don't go to the grocery store. I don't. It's a waste of my fucking time. I don't do laundry. You know, recently I've stopped mowing the yard. I don't even drive. I have millions of fucking dollars to manage. And there's things I need to read, and there's things I need to do. And driving is a low value to me. Cars is a low value to me. Owning shares of Uber is of the highest value to me. Owning dividend stocks and high yield stocks and these things is the highest value in my life. If you're doing what you love, it was Peter Lynch, this amazing one up on Wall Street back in the 1990s, says, if you're grateful for your job, if you love what you're doing, you're inspired by the vision, you're enthusiastically working, that company's going up in value. And if you're going to buy a stock that you visited the company and see those four things. And if those four things are in place and the company's going up in value, because that's the four things that exemplify what's possible. Draw and magnetize charismatically people to people who are doing those four things. A company can't grow without those four things, meaning he needed to see it. Needed to see it in others. Don't hire people you don't see it in. Use this power, this ability that God has given you, man. The ability to manifest, to have anything that you want. Man, serve that highest value. You got to write them down. Write it down. What is two or three of the highest values and two or three of your lowest values? And ask yourself, how much time are you spending on this thing? God bless. Hey, man, this is Gerald Peters. Thanks for listening to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. If you don't have my free ebook, you don't have to die broke. Man, just go on over to geraldpeters.info and grab yourself a copy. It's free. It'll always be free. I'll email it to you. But if you want some hard copies, I'd be happy to sign a book and get it out to you. Again, go over to geraldpeters.info. And hey, while you're there, get on my Substack list, man. You can see what we got going on, the stocks we buy. I got research analysts that help me and put out articles. You're going to love it, man. Right now, it's all free. Get on over there. And if you're looking for a family of people who have the highest value, their highest value is trading this stock market every fucking day and getting a little bit richer every fucking day, then I'm your man. And MFG is your people. We look forward to talking to you. Hey, text me at 936-661-7786. That's my number. Don't call me. Text me. It'll be me that answers or that responds to your text. 936-661-7786. And follow me on Instagram at FullAuto11. God bless.